Good evening.
This is WOOC Labor Talk, and my name is Willie Terry. Today we will continue our special February program honoring black labor during Black History Month. Now, in this segment, we will discuss the general role and treatment of African-American workers in labor history. And we'll do this in four areas. One, what was the general role of black workers? And two, how were black workers treated in labor history? And three, what is the status of black workers now? And four, what do history say about the future of black labor? Now, before I get started, I just want to backtrack to say that African-American history didn't start in America, and black labor history didn't start in America. Enslaved black workers were at work in Africa developing civilizations before they were forced to come to America. Their role was defined as slaves, and they were to work, work, and work for a lifetime. And listen to S. Sarah Gadgil. In her slave narrative says,
Ashura has had a hard life. Just work, work and work. I never know nothing but work. I never knows what it was to rest. I just work all the time, from morning till late at night. Work in the field, chop wood, hoe comb. Sometimes I feels like my back surely break. Honey, you can't know what a time I had. All cold and hungry. Oh no, I ain't telling no lie. It's the gospel truth, the gospel truth, the gospel truth.
These enslaved black workers were not paid for their labor. They were labor. And they were a form of capital investments to generate more money or wealth for the slave owners and the capitalist elites. Now, after the so-called freedom of the enslaved workers by the Emancipation Proclamation or the Civil War or the 13th Amendment, and to quote Stubb Terkel, quote, he said, the USA and the land of the free and the home of the brave for all, yet race consciousness and racism pervade every fiber of our social existence. Black workers, after their so-called freedom, face severe racism and discrimination in America and the labor movement. Black workers' status of being enslaved by individual masters was replaced by a condition of being enslaved to a white society in the North and in the South. The white elite created in the North and South a new system of neo-slavery called Jim Crow segregation. Now, access to the significant wealth-building resources were not open to the technical free black workers. White workers incorporated racism into their worldview, and they used it to advance themselves. White workers became part of the system to oppress black workers by creating race riots, police repression, and exclusion from unions, and better jobs, and housing, and education that kept black workers from advancing socially and economically. Racism came not just from the top, but from the bottom up, instituting a system of divide and rule, often policed by white workers. White workers, instead of attacking the rich capitalists or the slave masters, they focused their resentment on black workers. White supremacy placed white workers in privileged positions relative to black workers, reserving skilled jobs, education, and state subsidies for white only, and prohibiting blacks from advancing. Numerous of unions contribute to the degraded economic status of black workers by excluding them from membership, from apprenticeship programs, and from skilled jobs. In the skilled trades and the railroad brotherhood, whites had long used unions to keep blacks out of that. Even whites in low-wage industries such as textile, which excluded blacks except for cleaning jobs, often benefited from the color line. Now, many of them could afford to hire black domestic servants because blacks made such miserable wages and were excluded from factory jobs. Black workers were generally relegated to the worst jobs and paid the lowest wages. Employers fought unionization by really racially segregating workers and threatening whites with replacements by black workers. The segregated system of labor organizations that pitted workers against one another, white unionized workers often resorted to violence to drive black workers out of jobs. White labor leaders in the union movement that expanded from the mid-1800s to the 1960s collaborated and maintained the system of black workers' exclusion and white workers' privilege. White union leaders often outspoken in their ideological racism and commitment to the racial barriers. Now, in the civil rights struggles that came along later, labor was little to be seen. Support and money came from several large unions, including the United Auto Workers and the steel workers. Few unions, however, attempted to mobilize their membership to participate in the freedom struggle. The American Federation of Labor and Congress of Industrial Organization, known as the AFL-CIO, gave verbal support. But unions with large black memberships, such as the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, and the United Auto Workers and 1199, were aggressively active in their support. Now, many white unionists, like other white Americans, they deserted the freedom movement when it began demanding an equal place at the table, or calling for the restructuring of the political and economic system and an end to white privilege and racism. But due to the racism and discrimination in the history of the American labor movement, black workers had to organize caucuses and unions to fight for their rights. And they dramatically eliminated many of the discriminatory practices on the job and in the labor movement. Now, some of these organizations that organized were the Waiter Protected Association of New York, the Baltimore Colored Caucus Trades, the Alabama Negro Labor Union, the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, the Southern Tenant Farmers Union, the Colored National Labor Union, the National Negro Congress, the National Negro Labor Council, Negro American Labor Council, League of Struggle for Negro Rights, the Dodge Revolutionary Union Movement, known as DRUM, the League of Revolutionary Black Workers, and the Coalition of Black Trade Unions, known as CBTU, and the American Negro Labor Congress, and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. Now, the history of racism and discrimination on black workers was so bad over the past AFL and the CIO at their convention, their leaders acknowledged, quote, the ugly history of racism in the labor movement and the union. Now, how did they respond? Well, they responded by creating a labor commission on racial and economic justice to examine how issues of race can be better addressed by its union membership, as well as call for all unions in the AFL-CIO to diversify its members and leadership. The future of black labor is bleak, and I hate to say that. But despite of all the progressive things the labor movement has done, it has failed to adequately address the major contradictions of racism and class. History say that the labor movement must convince white workers that black workers are not their enemy, and they should unite with them to aggressively struggle against our real enemies, the racist, capitalist, imperialistic system. History says that the labor movement must take a more organized and active role in the progressive community struggles for justice. Black Lives Matter. The labor movement must develop a more aggressive struggle against institutional racism and white privileges in all its forms in and out of the labor movement. And finally, history says that the labor movement must do massive grassroots organizing of workers in unions and workers not in unions, with the understanding that there would have to be a theoretical and an ideological struggle in and out of the labor movement at the same time. This must be done so workers can understand how racism has been and continue to be used as a tool to divide and co-opt workers' struggles. Workers must understand that history predicts the destruction of the world if we continue to allow a system based on profit values rather than human values to destroy the world water resources, to pollute the air and land, and continue to develop massive nuclear weapons for war. If we continue this, then the major question or the major contradiction is how much time we have. I want to kind of end this discussion by quoting two of the most celebrated black leaders in history of the black workers' movement, and that is Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. And a lot of time, you know, we celebrate them, but we kind of leave them froze in history. But there was two leaders that was changing. And I want to quote Malcolm X first. Malcolm X said that you can't have capitalism without racism, unquote. And he also said that the system in this country cannot produce freedom for African Americans. It's impossible for this system, this economic system, this political system, this social system, this system, period. It's impossible for this system, as it stands, to produce freedom right now for the black man in this country. That's Malcolm X. And Martin Luther King, who was also changing, quote, said, capitalism does not permit an even flow of economic resources. With this system, a small privileged few are rich beyond conscience, and almost all others are doomed to be poor at some level. That's the way the system works. And since we know that the system will not change the rules, we are going to have to change the system. This is Willie Terry of WOOC, Labor Talk, and I want to thank you for tuning in, and I hope you tune in again. And I want to end by saying, "A luta continua," which means the struggle continues.